Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Well, let's start with the story of Grafton County.
Yeah, Grafton County, New Hampshire.
And the chair, the newly elected chair of the Grafton County Republican Committee, being ousted because he's a supporter of mine and a friend of mine. So they actually redid the election after they found this out.
So the reason they would do that is because you ran for sheriff a few months ago in 2020.
You didn't say her name. Aria
DiMezzo.
Oh, yes.
It's Ian and Bonnie and Aria. Sorry about that. Things are usually different when we record the show. So anyway, you ran for sheriff as a Republican.
Yes.
Now, for listeners who are brand new to the show, you are also a trans Satanist anarchist.
Correct.
And that was all very public during this campaign and resulted in a tremendous amount of publicity, some of which was actually brought on by the Republican Party itself and how they responded to your campaign.
Yeah, they didn't do themselves any favors here. I think the only thing about it that really bothers me, though, was that accusation that, you know, I gaslit the Republicans. I was like, how? I was 100% upfront from the start. I can't help it that you guys didn't bother to look for that. I was broadcasting it to anyone who would look, then I'm a trans Satanist anarchist.
We thought the elections were supposed to be in the election years, so we held one in 2020, expecting the next one would be in 2022. Well, now they're saying, no, no, the next one's supposed to be right now, and since you didn't call for it, the county chair is going to call for one of these special elections. And it doesn't matter all the things that I pointed out about how, well, look, you know, we're duly elected. We thought we were following the right rules.
But you were following the right rules.
Well, the rules we were following were given to us by the state party.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we didn't write those bylaws. Right. We amended them a little bit, but they were given to us, I think, by the secretary of the...
The secretary of the state party.
Yeah.
So we were following these bylaws that they provided to us, and now they're saying, oh, no. No, we're just going to go ahead and call a special election, and I just feel like that this is targeting us, that this is, they're trying to get rid of our, I think they're trying to get rid of Aria supporters. I think that's what this is.
And I tend to agree. I don't want it to be that, but based on their behavior and how, not hostile, but how unfriendly they have been towards you in their emails, that seems to be the case.
Yeah, I use the term not in good faith to describe what happened here. Because the guy who's in charge of the county party here in Cheshire County, he makes it sound like he's just following the bylaws, like, oh, well, you didn't call for this election like you're supposed to, and so therefore he's calling for the election as though there's nothing more to it than that. I fully expect that by the end of the show tonight, the Aria supporters will have been ousted. I was told yesterday that they already have 15 RSVPs for this meeting.
Well, three of those were us, at least, because I got one, you got one, and Chris got one.
Yeah, but by the time she told me that, this is according to the party secretary, she had told me that she hadn't counted all of them yet. So anyway, it sounds like it's going to be, they're going to turn out as many people as they possibly can.
I mean, this is what they did when I ran for secretary as well of the King Republican Committee. They turned out 15 to 20 people who literally left immediately after the vote, didn't stay around for the meeting. They were just there to vote against me.
And they don't know you're going to be nominated for chair.
No, they don't, but they should expect it from us.
They should at this point. I mean, I've been playing pretty nice with the Republican Party here in town.
I wanted to. They just didn't want to play nice with me.
That's right. Yeah, you never did anything to them except point out how you're actually probably more, you know, in a lot of ways, freedom-friendly than these supposedly small government Republicans. And maybe
it was that remark
them.
that got everyone so upset with Mikey was him asserting that I'm probably more of a constitutionalist than any of the others.
This is the guy who was
the former chair of the Grafton Republican Committee.
Right. So that's what this is. That's what's going on here tonight. We will update you as, you know, we decide to take over and be live again here in a little bit. We're probably in the studio right now. We're just in the middle of whatever meeting shenanigans. Any other time besides COVID time, it's hard to collect signatures. Now it's really hard.
And it's snowing.
Well, yes, now it is. But, I mean, you can collect signatures later in the year. But, you know, you've got people who are now afraid to actually come near you who otherwise might have, you know, given you a signature previously. So now they actually had to lower the signature requirements
They should have just eliminated them.
They really should have. Some states did, but not New Hampshire. So
New Hampshire reduced it to what, like 3,500 or something?
I think it only reduced it by a third. So not
effectively useless.
Yeah, not a big reduction at all.
In a society where people are afraid to reuse the same pin that someone else touched.
It's so insane. And you know, to his credit, Daryl Perry did get qualified for the ballot last year in 2020 as the gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarians. So, you know, it can be done. It's just, I got so much more to do with my time than go out and collect signatures. It is a slow, arduous process to go out and collect signatures. Have you ever done it before?
I have not.
No?
Neither have I.
No. Yeah.
I mean, imagine it's much fun, though.
No.
I mean, you got to get someone to stop and listen to you, first of all.
That's hard enough.
And they have to be willing to actually put their name on this thing, and they may not be. Right. And they have to actually agree that you should be allowed to run for office under whatever party label you choose.
And they have to be from New Hampshire.
They have to be from New Hampshire?
Yeah, they have to be, I mean,
ideally. They have to be at least like residents of New Hampshire.
CNN reporting, Cuba took a long-awaited and likely irreversible step toward massively expanding the island's private sector over the weekend. On Saturday, Cuba's communist-run government announced that Cubans will soon be able to seek employment or start businesses in most fields of work.
Wow.
They couldn't before?
No, it was a communist country. So before, you would have to, like, have the government tell you where you could work. And you'd be able to work for the government in whatever governmental industries were allowed to exist.
That sounds like The Giver.
So they're opening up competition. Go ahead.
What's The Giver?
Oh, that's a utopian book about, well, when you're, like, you turn 12, you get assigned a job.
Mm-hmm. Just like that. You were saying about utopia?
I don't recall what I was saying.
Okay.
Because now I'm thinking about The Giver, because I remember reading that when I was in like the sixth grade, and I don't really remember much about it. I do remember it gave me chills because it was very dystopian.
It's super good. That was like my first dystopian future book that I got like so obsessed with when I was like in sixth grade too.
I'm not familiar with it at all. So they assign jobs and then what happens?
Well, it was a really weird book. There was no color whatsoever in the world, and who knows by what technological or spiritual thing they were supposed to have achieved that. But it was that one person was designated to know a lot of things that the rest of society wasn't allowed to know.
Okay. The new measures for self-employment approved by the Council of Ministers will expand significantly the activities one can carry out. A new and important step to develop this kind of work, tweeted Cuban official Marino Murillo Jorge, the reforms czar, who has been overseeing its glacially paced attempt to modernize the local economy. Self-employment and capitalism were all but forbidden in Cuba until its near-total economic collapse, brought about by the fall of the Soviet Union, then the island's largest trading party.
Now, so they're not actually allowing private sector, they just expanded the list of allowable jobs.
Well, I mean,
self-employment being one, right?
Yeah, so they can start businesses now.
Okay.
Which they could not do previously.
Wow.
In any meaningful sense.
I don't know if this is like ignorant. Maybe there already are some of them doing this, but I wonder if that means like more like YouTubers will come out being like from Cuba. Like,
could be, because they actually have some internet there now, which they hadn't had up until the last decade or so, basically.
Wow, that's tragic.
And it wasn't great several years ago. I remember Photography is Not a Crime's Carlos Miller was reporting from his visit to Cuba. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago. He was at one of the like high-end hotels, and even there, the internet wasn't that great. Like, spotty at best.
So, well, it's an island.
Well, that's no excuse. I mean, there's plenty of islands that have multiple internet trunks leading to and from them. They finally, I think, are acknowledging that communism at least has not worked. And they have to try something different. And so this is good news. And it was also nice to see, at least at the end of the Obama administration, when one of the few things Barack Obama got right was he deregulated the travel to Cuba. So actually our own co-host Mark Edge has gone to Cuba.
Nice.
I think it was like 2 years ago he went there and said the women are very beautiful and had a lot of other nice things to say about the island there. But the people are incredibly poor because they're still trying to pick themselves up out of this mire of communism.
Well, this is so exciting for them. I hope that Cuba starts to like be more wealthy now.
I hope so too. Now, there's more to the story here, so let me continue. Gradually and with regular backtracking, the Cuban government allowed Cubans to stop working low-paid state jobs and go into business for themselves. By the government's own statistics, more than 600,000 Cubans now work in the private sector, although the number is likely far higher when you account for the island's thriving black market. Still, Cuban, because remember, in a communist nation, the black market is what keeps you alive.
Yes.
Right? Because if you are relying on the government and bread lines to your, you know, keep your sustenance coming, that's probably not going to do it. So you've got to turn to the black market, and that's what we've seen in places like Venezuela, where people will sell dollars to you on the black market. We could have been helping the Cuban people to whatever extent it was able for them to, you know, to participate.
Right.
In the economy. We could have helped them in creating businesses. We could have helped them in importing products and exporting products from their island to make the world a better place. But because, you know, politicians decided Cuba bad, the Cuban people have been suffering extra because of what people like Donald Trump and his predecessors.
Yeah, the politicians aren't going to suffer as a result of this. And I love what Ron Paul had to say about embargoes, because so many politicians view them as some sort of more peaceful alternative to war, but they're not. They're a prelude to war.
Sure.
They're almost never a alternative.
And I'm sure they kill people.
I'm sure many Cubans have died as a result of the United States embargo on Cuba. And isn't Absolutely. The U.S. the only country that's still, like, embargoing them?
It wouldn't surprise me. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know where you go to get that list.
I don't either. But I can't imagine it's many beyond the idiotic, stubborn American United States government doing it.
Yeah. I mean, who do they think it hurts? Why would anyone think that telling a people of a country that they can't trade with you in some way is going to dethrone their government, is somehow going to destabilize their government?
Well, lots of Trump people think that everything needs to be made and manufactured and everything in the United States. And that's how we create wealth, and that's how we make America great again.
At the end of the Cuba discussion, we ended up getting into talking about, for whatever reason, Biden doing a Buy American order.
That's so surprising.
And is it, though? I mean, because as Bonnie pointed out, there really isn't a difference between these people, right?
The Republicans and Democrats.
Donald Trump, Joe Biden. I mean, Trump was more entertaining. But ultimately, they're all continuing the same policies for the most part.
Trump is entertaining more consistently, but when Joe Biden starts talking about kids stroking his leg hair or whatever,
that is hilarious.
He is infinitely more entertaining than Trump is.
True. Biden is unintentionally entertaining.
When he calls his daughter his dead son's name and says, "This is my son."
Yes, that too. So President Biden, this is actually from the WhiteHouse.gov press release section here. This was actually January 25th. So that's, what, 5 days after he took office? That's how soon he issued what's one of the myriad of executive orders that he has issued since he has taken office.
So it was clearly a priority to him.
Oh, yeah. They had planned to do this, right? Because as soon as he took office, he issued dozens of executive orders. From what I saw, it was way more than like what Trump did, apparently, as well. Anyway, here's their propaganda. Today, while many American businesses are on the brink of having to close their doors because of the crisis that our country faces, which, of course, the government created. So a little bit of news out of our very own New Hampshire. I saw this in the New Hampshire Cop Block group that I'm in on Telegram. There's a couple of guys now that are living here, and I think they're both relatively new movers. One of them is the guy from, his name is Joa, and he does a channel called Breaking the Flaw on YouTube. And he's been doing this for years where he didn't live in New Hampshire up until 2020. He moved in 2020, I think. And prior to that, he was in Rhode Island and had been doing a lot of sort of New England area, what they call First Amendment audits. Do you know what that is? What a First Amendment audit is?
So when you go to a public, like a courthouse or something, you try to make sure that they're letting you film and film them trying to take your camera away?
Well, hopefully they won't try to take your camera away, but if they do, it usually makes for some pretty good footage. But yeah, the idea behind a First Amendment audit is not just to go to courthouses, but any government building, any building that is ostensibly open to the public. You go in with a video camera rolling, and you just tour around and see where you can go and see what the bureaucrats do.
And they usually call the police, and the police come and they want to question you and get all your information and tell you that what you're doing is suspicious because you might be a terrorist and other nonsense.
Have you've seen some of these?
Yes.
The man who identifies himself on camera as Mark live streamed the entire incident on his YouTube channel called Press NH Now.
Wow, they actually plugged his channel.
They did. So kudos to them for that. They didn't link to it, but they did say what it was called. Trying to make the point that COVID-19 policy decisions were not law and that he had a right to film in a public building. The hour and 49-minute video starts with the man stating that he was just informed he would be arrested if he returned to the second floor where the town manager, finance department, and town attorney's officers are located. The second floor has been closed to the public due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Coronavirus doesn't go on second floors.
Quote, I don't follow policy, I follow the law, and they are denying me access to upstairs, he says while talking to his followers commenting in the chat section. Quote, this is a public building, we all pay for it. He later stated he was conducting a First Amendment audit, trying to get a copy of the town's code enforcement ordinance while videoing town employees as he asked them for assistance. Quote, you guys are looking bad, he says, while informing his viewers the town is violating the Freedom of Information Act after he was told he could locate it on the town's website. Quote, this is unbelievable, he said. He left for a short period to visit the library after being directed that a copy of the ordinance was there, but returned shortly later after finding out that it was from 2019. He eventually left town hall after a town employee printed out the entire 2020 ordinance book for him.
I got to check into some math, and I can't figure out why 51% of black babies are aborted in the United States now.
Huh?
And only 18 to 12 of white babies. God called and said, could we get the white baby abortion rate up a little higher so it's close? I'm not a racist or nothing. But should we bring the white baby rate up or should we take the black rate down? I'm kind of confused here. I don't really get it. LeBron's not complaining. Stephon's not complaining. Jackson's not complaining. The DNC's not complaining. For Christ's sake, they support these fools. I'm sorry.
Well, let me. I support an individual doing whatever the individual thinks is best for their long-term, you know, well-being. And
yeah,
the fact of the matter.
Know, when,
hold on.
You know,
let me finish. Let me finish.
I'll put him on hold. Go ahead.
Babies are very expensive. It's generally good advice for a person who's trying to move forward in the world and establish a career and things like that to not have a baby. You know, mistakes happen, things like that. So abortion becomes necessary. If that's happening more commonly in black neighborhoods, black communities, it's not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. It's just opening up those people to move forward in the world without having this, you know, $20,000 a year debt attached to them.
And as far as you saying that black celebrities don't talk about it, Kanye West publicly brought it up at the beginning of 2020, saying that he thinks that it's like a conspiracy.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Ari, you were topless, as you promised, during this call with the Republicans. It was one of these Zoom meetings. There were, what, about 20, I would say, people on this? Maybe a little more than that, 20 or so, 20 and change.
I can
people.
Check the actual video I took, but I think it was at least 21 at one point, and then yeah. Matt Roach came on, so I think the total was 22.
I think we had, what, 7 or 8 votes for you compared to they had like 17 for the other person.
Yeah, they stacked the deck significantly harder than we did.
Yes, with everyone who was over the age of 60 or 65 that are Republicans in Keene, New Hampshire is where we live. We tried to join the Republican Party a couple of years ago just to, you know, to have access to the ballot in a way that the Libertarians didn't, because it's a lot easier to run as a Republican, as we mentioned, I think, earlier in the show tonight. And, you know, tried to bring some fresh, young people into the Republican Party, because honestly, they're just dying off. Literally, they are getting old and they're not being replaced by anyone. So, I mean,
we did a good job of that. We brought in a lot of young people.
We did.
And all of those young people were just smacked down tonight.
That's right. I was the vice chair of the party, and Bob Call was the chairman of the party, and neither of us are continuing in those roles. We were replaced by a woman and a man, probably in their 60s.
I do briefly want to give credit to the Keene Republican Committee for not falling into any of the traps that were laid tonight. They never addressed the fact that I was topless or the fact that Bonnie was misgendering them. Or that it I was wearing so a funny. Leash, they ignored all of it.
Honestly, I didn't notice the leash.
Okay.
I just kept looking at your breasts.
It was right in between them.
Was it? Wow. Yeah, didn't even notice that. But apparently they didn't say anything at all. And you're right, they could have fallen into the trap, but they didn't, so I guess they deserve some credit for that.
I bet they were preparing for trolling.
They would Maybe. Be stupid if they weren't. There's I like, guess. Hey, we're about to kick out all these people. They know we're about to kick them out.
Yeah.
Arya is attending this event. There will be shenanigans.
Yeah. And there's video. You're going to work on that tonight. That's going to be posted where?
I'll probably send it to you if that's okay and you're going to be awake to put it on Freecane. I'm just going to clip out the really boring stuff.
Okay. Is that going to get me banned from YouTube?
It didn't. I can just put it on my channel then.
Yeah, why don't you put it on your channel and then I can just...
It didn't hurt me in the past, but...
What's your channel, Arya?
On YouTube.
YouTube.com/... Just go to YouTube.AryaDemetso.com. That'll get you there.
YouTube.AryaDemetso.com.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. There was a situation where I received a notice from a collections agency that I owed the city of, not I, but the church, the Shire Free Church, owed the city of Keene $60 for a parking ticket. And my response, of course, was that can't be because every parking ticket that I've ever received, I've challenged in court. I've demanded my court date, and usually they drop the ticket.
Right.
Because they don't want to go to court. So,
which means that anyone who's willing to walk in there and request a court date effectively has free parking within the city of Keene.
Correct. But, you know, it takes time, right? Like, if you get a ticket, you have to go down to the city building and you have to go up to the parking window and you have to, you know, deal with them. So a lot of people, they don't want to spend time. They don't want to have to go to court because you do have to also be willing to go to court as well.
True.
And it takes their time, too.
It does. And that's why they don't want to do it. They don't want to go to court because it's only a $10 ticket. And their prosecutor has other things he'd probably rather or she would rather be doing. So it's like, do you really want to spend...
prosecuting freaking parking tickets? Yeah. God, I would rather be doing anything with my life other than being the person who prosecutes parking tickets.
Right. So, you know, they've learned their lesson effectively here over the years in Keene, New Hampshire, where we do this show from, because multiple hosts have done this. Chris Wade on Friday nights was the most successful recent parking ticket challenger. They actually did take his tickets to court.
Our local newspaper, front page, bottom of the fold yesterday, said that Black and Latino people are twice as likely to catch COVID, yet only 3% of us are willing to take the vaccine. I get up this morning and my YouTube feed was flooded with Blacks and Latinos are twice as likely to catch this. And I'm 60, bruh, and I know two people who've had it. One is a nurse who works exclusively with old people, and one was a cousin who was 85 and already had a bad heart.
Okay, and is the nurse also Black?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She said she got sick as a dog for about 2 weeks and then felt great.
Yeah. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of evidence in my personal life of anybody getting any serious ramifications from this particular disease.
Everyone I personally know and am associated with who has had it was sick for maybe like 24 hours with a relatively mild cold, and then they felt better. But no, they had to quarantine for 2 weeks because they might kill someone's 85-year-old grandma who's probably going to die in the next year or two anyway.
I want to give you some tips on beating a ticket.
Okay.
One of the worst kind of tickets that, you know, it's all judgment is the so-called running a red light ticket. I'm not talking about somebody blows through a red light, doesn't care, is reckless. It's basically a judgment call, and you have to have if your front wheels, I believe, if they're just in the crosswalk, you're not really running the light. Well, I was going to work one morning, and I used to live in a city where lots of lights I went through, and finally this cop pulls me over, and he gives me a ticket for running a red light, and I knew I I was told, yeah, you can ask him, where were my front wheels? So I said, where were my front wheels? He says, I'll tell you in court.
Mm-hmm.
So he told me. So when I get to work, I look at the ticket, and it just said Gish Street. Well, I mean, no, it just said First Street.
Mm-hmm.
So First is a huge street. And I said, well, who knows how long he was behind me. When I noticed him, it was several lights back. So that was the argument I was going to make, because I'm not sure what he's saying, what he's accusing me of. So when I get into court...
Which of these red lights that I ran is he ticketing me for?
Right. So he's saying at some point you ran a red light on First Street, which has multiple red lights on it.
That's all it said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. All it said. So when I get into court, I bring it up to the judge, and I brought up what I said. I asked him to show me where my front wheels were. He told me he'd tell me in court. So now I'm asking him, where were they? Because I don't even know what street you're talking about. I don't even know how to defend myself in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the judge, he says, well, wait a minute. I have a copy of the ticket right in front of me. It says First and Gish.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.